Shanti, 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 peace, peace. Good evening.
Good evening.
I welcome you with all my heart. It is a pleasure to see you again. It's always good to be with you. Every once in a while I ask you the question, why do you come to satsang? What is the reason that you come here? What do you want to achieve? What are you looking for? Perhaps some of you ladies come here to meet an interesting gentleman. Some of you fellows come here to meet some ladies. That's okay. That's what you're looking for. Some of you come here to judge the speaker, to compare him with other speakers, other teachers. Most of you are aware that in the greater LA area, most spiritual people are burnt out, so to speak. They've been to so many movements, so many teachers, so many so-called gurus. They don't know what to believe, what to accept. Always remember the true teachers in your heart, the real teachers within you. A person who's gone within for many years has become silent within will be attracted to the same silence in the without. In other words, they will come to the place that agrees with the within. When you attain a degree of spiritual knowledge, truth, realization from within, you will meet the sage or the teacher without. It's the same difference. There's no difference whatsoever. But those of you who shop for teachers, who shop for gurus, who go shopping for spiritual life, will always be disappointed. We will find some fault wherever you go. And again, the fault that you find is also within yourself. Everything is within yourself. You've got all the answers. Don't look to me for answers. You've got all the answers yourself. They're within you. I'm only here to advise you that you are free and liberated. That's what I'm doing. I'm here to tell you don't do anything. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you are, you have. You are that. It's amusing and funny to me that so many of us are looking for enlightenment, looking for realization, looking for liberation, looking for peace, when we're already immersed in that. Consciousness is our very nature. We are that. And the interesting thing is, you cannot put down consciousness in any way. There's nothing you can do to it. You cannot taint it. You cannot dishevel it. You cannot burn it. You cannot kill it. It is all pervading. If it's all pervading and you are that, How can you think there's something that's keeping you back from realization? How can you believe there's something somewhere else that's got hold of you that's keeping you back from seeing yourself, knowing yourself, and being yourself? Since there's no room for anything else, the self pervades all of space and time. There's nothing else. So how can you think there's such thing as sickness, lack, limitation, depression, and these things that some of us go on with, believing we have a fight in our hands, something to overcome? That's a joke. Funny. Aha. There's nothing that you have to overcome. There's no karma that you have to overcome. There's no samskaras. You're not a sinner. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You are perfect just the way you are. You are the self, the immutable self. Self-contained absolute reality. You have always been this. You are this. And nothing can tarnish this. Just by understanding what I'm saying will liberate you totally. You are perfect right now, this moment, just the way you are. There's absolutely nothing you have to do or become or read or seek. You are that now. All you have to do is accept this. Nothing can change this, no matter what you think, no matter what's going on in your mind, what you may think is wrong with your life, what you may think is right with your life. None of that matters. You are freedom, total freedom, total joy, total peace, total love. Think of a block of ice. Picture a block of ice. We've all seen a block of ice. And you pour a few grains of sand on the ice. What happens? The ice cleans itself, doesn't it? It washes itself clean of the sand. So is with consciousness. Consciousness always washes away those things that do not belong to it. The superimpositions, the images, the thoughts, the beliefs, are like grains of sand on the ice. Always washing itself free from anything that comes upon it. What I'm trying to say is you cannot affect consciousness. Nothing you do can affect consciousness or change it in any way. It is your liberation. It is your freedom. It is you. No matter what your mind tells you, no matter what your mind does to you, no matter how your body appears, what your body is doing, it's a lie. It is not the truth. There's only one truth, and that truth is the absolute reality, what we call God, Satchitananda, pure awareness, Sun is the one truth, and you are that. It's you. What have you been doing with your life? What are you thinking about? What are you feeling? There's nothing to let go of. There's nothing to change. For if you have to let go of something or you have to change something, you're saying that something existed in your life that has to be changed, that has to be removed, and that's impossible. Can't you see that it's impossible? There's no room for it. For everywhere you look, there's all-pervading consciousness. Everywhere. There's no room for anything else. This means you are totally free, totally liberated. Congratulations. Do you feel liberated? Some of you don't feel liberated. I hope you don't see this. What do you feel? What is there to feel except liberation? What are you afraid of? What could possibly happen to you? You cannot die. You will never die because there's no such thing as death. You cannot suffer, for no one suffers. This may sound strange to some of you, but where would the suffering come from if we lived a God-penetrating universe that is all-pervasive? And there's nothing else. How can you suffer? Just to see this, to understand this, frees you from suffering. Even when I say, who suffers? And we say, the ego suffers. That's also for kindergarten people. There is no ego to suffer. This is something you must remember. Self-inquiry that we practice is simply a method to get us to the place where we see that no one suffers and there's nothing going on. But some of us don't have to practice self-inquiry. We can go right beyond it and see there's no suffering, there's no one to suffer, there's no one that's hurtable, and there are no problems. There's nothing to fix. Every time you try to remedy something, what you're saying to yourself is something is wrong, and you have to take some action to fix it up. But I'm telling you, there's no place in this universe where there can be anything wrong. For consciousness is the only power. So how can there be anything wrong to begin with to fix? Things like karma, samskaras, samsara. All these things are just told to you so we can have books. And you can read these books and drive yourself crazy with them. One after the other, read hundreds of books. They give you names for everything on this earth. The names you're suffering, and how to get rid of it. There's no such thing. Why won't you believe me? There's nothing going on. that you have to remedy or fix or rectify. All you really have to do is turn within and realize that you are perfect right now, just the way you are. Do not try to analyze the statement. Do not try to figure it out. Just accept it and do it and be it. If you can only say to yourself, I am perfect just the way I am, and all is well and everything is unfolding as it should. That's all you have to do. But no. You refuse to do that. Instead, you want to think about it. Try to figure out what it means, how it applies to you, and compare it to the problems that you think you have. And all you do is perpetuate your misery. You are all gods. Not gods in the making. You're all gods right now. All there is of God, whatever was of God, is you right this moment, this time, this second. You are that right this moment. Every time you look at yourself as a human being, you are committing blasphemy. Or you're putting yourself down. Who told you you were human to begin with? Where did you ever learn that you are a human being? In school? In the churches? Your parents taught you? This day lie has been perpetuated since the beginning of time. But you're a human being. You are not human. You never were human. And no matter how human you think you are, the time will come when you will see that you're not human, and you will rejoice. Why not let this happen now, here, tonight? Want to understand your divinity right now and accept it. It's not hard to do. Remember, there's nothing to let go of. You do not have to affirm yourself to death saying things like, I let go now of all of my fears, all my sorrows. There are no fears and no sorrows to let go of. There never were anything like that. They did not exist. Try to remember this. There's absolutely nothing to let go of. There's only to be. In other words, you do not have to redeem yourself. And you do not have to pray to an anthropomorphic deity up in the sky somewhere. There's nothing you have to do, for you're already that. You've always been that, and you're that right now. Beautiful, happy, joyous. fulfilled, complete, absolute. It's wonderful. Feel your freedom. Feel the total freedom that you've missed all these years. Feel it right now. There's no tomorrow, so don't wait until tomorrow to feel your freedom. Feel it right now. Do not wait until things get better in your life. There's no such time. This is it. There's nothing else. If you cannot do this, if it's too hard for you, then try to keep your mind stayed on God. If your mind is set on God, then everything will work itself out in your life. That means if you have decisions to make, things to overcome, if you believe you have problems in your life, whatever you believe, turn from this belief. Do not consider this belief any longer, the situation or condition. And turn to consciousness, to God, the same thing. Allow your mind to rest in God. The reason I'm bringing this up is because a fellow called me Tuesday night, the young boy. I had been doing some counseling with them. He comes from a foster home. He's been in jail a few times. And one of his counselors got a hold of our transcript and spoke to me and asked me if I can talk to this boy because he seems to be spiritually inclined. So I've been seeing him a couple of nights a month, for about 3 or 4 months. He called me Tuesday evening and told me he was in jail, if I can bail him out. So I asked him what happened. So I said, I did what you told me to. I kept my mind on God. So I said, what happened? He said, I went to Lucky's. I'm fully caught up with goods and walked out the door with it. And a security guard caught him. So he asked me, what happened? I kept my mind on God. Why did this happen to me? This is true with all of us. We think we can keep our mind on God, and it gives us lessons to do whatever we want. The truth of the matter is, if you kept your mind on God, and you were really in God, involved in God completely, what we call God, which is absolute reality, which is consciousness, you would never even feel like hurting anybody else. You can't hurt anybody else. It's impossible. It's virtually impossible to hurt another human being if your mind is set on God. When your mind is set on God, it means you have surrendered completely, totally, absolutely to that which is divine, sacred, which is yourself. your turn was then, and you're giving it all up to God. Therefore, your life becomes a blessing. If you can do it, truly do this, not make a statement and talk about it, but truly surrender yourself so completely that you have nothing to think about, nothing to say. You're giving yourself away to the universal intelligence. Absolutely. Then you will find things will work themselves out totally and completely. Every move that you make will be divinely inspired. Every step that you take will be divinely guided. Everything you do will be sacred. So we're not making an affirmation. We're simply surrendering ourselves to that which is. We're just dropping ourselves completely, totally to that which is, to that which always was, to the universal intelligence, to the infinite presence, which is and has always been, will always be, the perfect something which you are right now, this minute. Ponder these things. Think of these things when you get up in the morning, before you go to sleep, during the day. Understand that you are not alone. Look at the boundless space all around you. Understand that you are that boundless space. This is you. The body is a false image. It doesn't really exist. It has no background. By no background, I mean it never came from anywhere. The body is a bad dream. Therefore, it's up to you to stop thinking about your body, your affairs, your life, and surrender those thoughts to the self, which is you, the infinite self, which will take care of everything for you. This has to be done by you. You can go through your life trying to overcome problems, trying to make things better for you, trying to hold on to the goodness that you've got already. But things will change as they must. So I say to you, stop being human. Stop trying to work things out. Nothing really ever happened for you without to work things out. If something really happened and you had a job on your hands trying to work things out, you really have a tough job. trying to straighten things out. And they will never end. There will always be something for you to straighten out, something to fix. Turn from everything. Turn away to the one presence, the one power, to one self, to one which is unaffected by person, place, or thing, yet which accommodates everything in itself. I'm not saying to identify with anything. Do not look for identification with anything. Do not look for anything. Just be. You see what I'm trying to say? Leave it alone. Do not try to change a thing. Leave everything alone. Just by leaving everything alone, you will become what you are. You will be aware of your own divinity by leaving everything alone. The worst thing you can ever do is try to change bad situations to good situations. We are playing with the law of cause and effect. Which means sometimes you have good situations, sometimes you have bad situations. We'll go round and round this way. Leave everything alone. Leave the world alone. You will find that when you do this, your so-called body will take care of itself. It will know what to do. It will do the right thing at the right time. And it will be a blessing to everyone. Stop trying to make things happen for yourself. Stop comparing yourself to others. Live a simple life. The simpler your life can be, the better. I know some of you think this is impossible. We're involved in so many things. You're afraid something will happen if you give up the thing that you're involved in. I'm not saying to give up anything. It all starts in your mind, not in your activities. Continue to do what you're doing, but in your mind, give up the fear, the frustration, the anxiety. That's motivating you, leading to all of these things, making you do all these things. This is what I'm asking you to give up. The mental state. Then your fears will follow. Your physical life will fall. Everything will take care of itself. When you become peaceful mentally, then the peace that's mental will become physical. And the whole world will be a world of peace. Always remember you're like a mirror. A mirror cannot see itself. You see this reflection. What kind of reflection are you seeing in your life? Everyone sees something else. be still. Stop struggling. Enter the holy shrine of your heart and there find peace and joy. You have always been perfect and you will always be perfect. There's absolutely nothing you have to delete or add. Remember why? If you have to delete something from your life or add something to your life, what you're doing is you're saying there's something else going on in this universe besides perfection. So I have to add something to my life or delete something to my life. I say to you, there's only perfection. Only the absolute reality exists. Only Satchitananda is. Pure awareness exists. You are that. You've always been that. You'll always be that, no matter what you say, what you do, what you hear. You are totally perfect, totally pure, untainted. This is called the self. You are the self. Right now, right this minute, right this second, hearing me say this to you will awaken you. That you're totally free right now. So be it. Peace.
On your road to peace, your awareness discovers old childhood sorrow that overwhelms you. The peace finding reconciled with the old childhood pain.
You simply watch it like you watch a movie. When you go to a movie, you watch the scenes going on. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then you go home. It's over. So if you're able to watch it without any emotion, it will become weaker and weaker and weaker until it dissolves itself into nothing. The problem is, with most of us, when we feel and see things like this in our mind, we react to it. We react to it by feeling emotional, by feeling something. This increases the strength of that picture. When you just smile and look at it like a passing show, let it all come, let it show you whatever it wants to show you. You just watch it, observe it, it'll go, become weak, and never come back.
Okay. This has been troubling me for a long time, I come from a background of doing primal therapy, where the belief system is what's therapeutic is to become conscious of old sorrows that we had to put down when we were children, experiences that are in us, to feel that we are not experiencing, so therefore we are not whole, to help uncover these and to help feel the old pain and thus liberate them and become more able to get in touch with our inner soul. That last sentence was my extension. To me, to deny that old experience that is part of all my body or whatever, is to deny part of myself, which is to do the opposite of what you're suggesting all evening.
I'm not saying to deny it. You're not saying I deny it.
But I'm saying I believe that it is needed to be felt. That's my belief at this moment. And you're saying you don't have to feel what comes up from repression. And I say, if you don't do that, aren't you denying part of yourself?
You're not denying part of yourself because it's not part of yourself. It's a false image. It's not the truth at all. It's false. It never existed to begin with. Because you believe in the body-mind phenomenon as being real and being powerful, you have to go through all the experiences that you're talking about to make yourself feel better. But then it'll never happen because when you get rid of this, something else will pop up.
Okay, one more question about that. What about the reality, I consider a reality of, say, for example, I'll just use me, my childhood, something negative happened, my mother hit me, my father hit me, or whatever, causing me intense pain that I didn't feel. Okay, that was a reality, that was an experience that I didn't fully experience. Are you saying that in some way that isn't real also?
I'm saying nothing is real. It is a dream. When you're dreaming at night, and you dream you've been misused as a child, you've been harassed, hurt, and having a dream like this, your parents are abusing you, and I come into your dream and I tell you, you're dreaming, this is not the truth about you. And you look at me and you laugh and you say, what do you mean I'm dreaming? What's going on? What's happening to me? And then you wake up, it never existed, it never happened. This life is like that. This life is that reality. It appears to be real, but it's not.
Is that why every human being almost in the whole world acts totally contrary to peace because of their childhood? If that's an illusion? I'm not being sarcastic either.
No, of course.
It's like humanity, if you look at humanity, it's a horrid expression of what it should be. And it's my belief that it's because we have been brought up without love, for the most part, that enables humanity to be and act without love. You're saying all of that cause is a dream?
You are totally involved in material being. You're totally involved in humanity. You're totally involved in consciousness, the consciousness of reality, which you call life, this kind of life. But what I'm saying to you is totally different than what it appears to be. It is not the truth that you're speaking of. You're speaking of man being born, having problems, going through life with all kinds of things prevailing in his life, and then dying. But I'm denying this whole thing. This whole picture doesn't exist. This whole picture is a false picture. It's a mirage, so to speak. It's a false image. And was it transcending and go through it? Totally transcend the whole thing. Don't deny it, transcend it. It never existed and never will exist. It's like hypnosis, you've been hypnotized into believing that this is true. It all appears to be true, it appears to be very real. So it takes a person who's been a long time in spiritual life to be able to see this whole thing as a mirage.
Why does the mirage have to be such a negative mirage?
It doesn't.
But, I mean, the reality that is the mirage is one of war and hatred and destruction. And if it's all a mirage, is there not a cause for it to be the negative mirage? Why couldn't it be a nice mirage?
There is a nice mirage also. There's nice, there's negative, there's all kinds of things going on in this world. But this whole world is a dream. Everything that's going on is not true. It is like the sky is blue. The sky is not really blue. It is like the water in the mirage. In the desert, there's no water in the mirage. Like the snake in the rope. All these things appear real. But when you investigate, they're not real. So if you really investigate yourself and discover where these things come from, you will see that they're not real whatsoever. You've imagined them in your mind. You have created them in your mind. I know if you're listening to something like this for the first time, it's sort of difficult to understand and accept. I'm not asking you to accept anything, but to investigate for yourself. It would be good if you would inquire, to whom do these things come? Inquire within yourself. Who feels these things?
I've been following a spiritual path in addition to and the therapy and my belief system and the work that I do, trying to put the two together and seeing the obstacles to the path being what I perceive to be people's blocks and people's lack of ability to get quiet and stuff like that. And it always seems to be that illusion of experience that is energizing, that is troubling. That
this all belongs to the I thought.
The I thought?
It all belongs to the I feel this, I feel that. The I thought must be traced back to the source, and you'll find nothing existed like this. It is the I thought that feels this, isn't it? You always say, I am this, I feel this. I was abused when I was a child. I was this, I was that. You're always talking about I.
Sure.
Get rid of that I and see where you are then. Remove the I from your consciousness, from your thinking, from your mind. And see where you are then. All these things that happen to the I, not to you. You haven't gone through anything. The I has. What you're doing right now is identifying with the I, that you're the I. I'm saying you're not the I. You never were the I. But as long as you believe in the other things, it will keep you back and keep hounding you, and it'll never end.
Mm-hmm. I understand profoundly what you mean by the I and me, but, and we don't have to belabor this, you know, I'm taking the time. But when I was a child, and children don't say, I am hurting. They just get hurt before they're even old enough to have an idea of I. They're causally impacted on by negative treatment or whatever. That, are you saying that whole event is an illusion? Whether I address it as I or not, that doesn't somehow impact on their consciousness?
You have the wrong premise to begin with. You're believing that this world is real and all these things are actually happening. Okay. So you can talk about this all day long. You'll bring up incidents that happen in human life. Okay. I'm saying get rid of the idea that life is human. Get rid of the idea that you're a human being to begin with. And all that will disappear. It's when you let go to a movie, you watch the movie on the screen. The screen is the reality. The images are false. But when the images are on the screen, they seem so real, they cover the entire screen, you don't see the screen, you forget about the screen. All you see is the images. And the movie's about children suffering, going through all kinds of experiences, and you feel this, you cry when you see it, you identify with it. You're forgotten that it's only because the screen is there that the images can be shown. If there's no screen, you wouldn't see the images, they'd be all distorted. So it is with human life. The screen of life is consciousness. The image is a superimposition of the consciousness. When you discover that your consciousness, not the image, you will be in a different ball game completely. For you will find that you are spirit.
Do you know that to affect people's emotions when they succeed in doing that? That it helps this situation or whatever? That they actually remove the I and it makes a difference on their emotional life?
I speak from experience.
I hear you.
I have a couple of things. Got a new motto. If there's something to think about, forget it.
Good for you, Fred. That's good.
Another thing. Sometimes we tell them to seek for something. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But if we seek for something, there's an assumption that's yours.
Exactly.
To be found. Mm. In which case, there's no reason why it shouldn't be lost again. So the real thing is to realize it isn't a matter of finding it. It's a matter of coming to realize that nothing's ever been lost.
True.
In other words, our real nature is
true
awareness. Another thing, recently you described action in such a way that I was reminded of the Indian concept of Nishkama Karma, which is action taken without any real reason, without expectation, and really without any purpose. And the ultimate reality is that all action is Nishkama Karma. And similarly, there's nothing apart from satsang, because satsang is Satchitananda, or Brahman, or Shiva, or whatever other word we might put on it. Are those assumptions fairly accurate?
They're very accurate. We're always taking action.
Sir?
We're always taking action.
Yeah.
But who takes the action?
Not the small eye.
Action and non-action are the same. There's no difference. For action is really non-action, non-action is action.
Right.
Robert, we've been talking about action, non-action, passivity. It also comes to mind the idea of inertia, which is not a very good state. I mean, spirituality as opposed to being just vacant. When you sit in the silence, for you it's, there's a sense of being whole, a wholeness for us or for me. There's a lot of vacancy where I don't feel anything.
This happens in the beginning stages. You begin to feel vacant, then you should inquire to yourself, who feels vacant? To whom does this feeling come? Who's feeling this? Then you'll be slow, you'll be quiet. And if it happens again, you ask yourself again. As you keep doing this, the day will come when it doesn't happen any longer. You will inquire, to whom does this feeling come? Who feels vacant? I do, who am I? And you keep still. To the extent that you keep still, to that extent does reality ensue. And the feeling will disappear, the vacant feeling will go away.
Well, what is the antithesis of the vacancy? Or what replaces the vacancy?
The vacancy never existed.
Well, the vacancy is a kind of inertia.
Vacancy is felt by you. It's part of the mind. But it doesn't exist by itself. You're giving it birth by thinking of vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you keep still, it was just disposed of itself because it never existed.
So stillness is not the same as vacancy.
No. Who says you're feeling vacant? How do you know you're feeling vacant?
Well, I identify the feeling as being. That's the word that comes to mind.
There's no such state as being vacant. Whatever state that you're in, you're never vacant, never really vacant. You're in a state of emptiness where nothing is happening. That's a state prior to a realization.
Well, stillness is a state where nothing is happening.
Stillness, when you're totally still. There's nothing happening.
But yet it's different than vacancy.
Very different. There's no one to feel vacant. There's no such thing as vacancy. Is there any vacancy in this universe? There's no vacancy, so why should there be vacancy in your head? A lot of people have vacant heads. Remember, you are a microcosm in the macrocosm. You're a replica of this entire universe. And this entire universe is power, energy.
Well, in vacancy, there's no energy or power.
Exactly. So there's no vacancy.
But when people feel vacant, or they feel powerless, or they feel isolated,
it's a state of mind. The quiet room is to come. It belongs to the I thought. There's not reality. There's a false image. Finally, you are and will disappear.
If everything is consciousness and everything is perfect.
I hear a voice over my shoulder.
It's George.
No, George, I thought God was speaking to me.
If everything is consciousness, how can there be a dream? How can there be unawareness if everything is awareness?
For whom is the dream? It's for the person who believes that there is consciousness in the dream and dream in the consciousness. The person who feels the dream has the problem. So how can there be a dream? There is no dream. There never was a dream.
All this consciousness, how can one see limitation?
One cannot see limitation.
How can one be aware of limitation if all is perfectness?
The one who is aware of limitation doesn't exist.
How can one that doesn't exist be aware of its existence?
If not, it doesn't. The one that doesn't exist is not aware of anything except the self. The self exists with everything. The person you're speaking of is the mind. It is the mind that's aware of all these things that you're referring to.
If everything is consciousness, how can mind exist?
Mind doesn't exist.
How can I be so creative as to experience mind if it doesn't even exist?
You're not the creative person experiencing mind that doesn't exist.
If mind doesn't exist, aren't there a bunch of geniuses that are able to experience mind when it doesn't even exist?
There are a bunch of geniuses doing everything they're supposed to do on this earth like everybody else is doing. There are people suffering, there are people creating, and it's all part of Maya, the grand illusion. More to get beyond this.
How can Maya exist if all is consciousness?
Maya exists for words to be spoken, so explain it. Otherwise, it'd be just plain silence. Maya never existed. It didn't exist. The self that you speak of doesn't exist. Limitation doesn't exist. Liberation doesn't exist. Bondage doesn't exist. All these things are just words, words, words.
If all is silence, how can there be words?
Because the silence makes the words seem like words. It's all a dream. The words are a dream, everything is a dream. Are you talking like this is a dream? It appears to be real, but it's not.
How can there be appearances if all is reality?
There are no appearances. What you're speaking, the experience of an appearance, they are an appearance. I can assure you that the appearance doesn't exist. There's no void in appearance. There's absolute void. Absolute reality of consciousness. Pure awareness. Which is absolutely nothing. So nothing exists, and you are that. Everything else comes out of your mind that doesn't exist. When you realize the mind doesn't exist, all this will stop.
Mind doesn't exist, that it doesn't have any existence by itself, but it still comes out of consciousness. So consciousness is the only thing that exists. Is that right?
In a way. What we call consciousness is all pervading, the only part it is. And everything that appears doesn't really come out of consciousness. Consciousness is self-contained, absolute reality. It knows itself as consciousness and nothing else. So everything else is like an illusion, like hypnosis, like you've been hypnotized into believing it's real. It's universal hypnosis. It looks real, it seems real, it appears real. But when you investigate it thoroughly, you'll see it's all false. It never exists to begin with. Consciousness just is a power by itself. To explain it in a way to make people understand, sometimes we say everything comes out of consciousness because people expect it to come out of somewhere. But in the ultimate reality, there's nowhere for it to come out of, for it never exists to begin with. How can something come out of something that doesn't, it's all pervading? In other words, there's no room for it to come out of anywhere. If what we call consciousness is everywhere present, omnipresent, all pervading, where would there be room for anything else to come out of? There's just no room for it. Consciousness alone exists as itself. As we go further into it, we find there's no consciousness at all either.
How does the hypnosis come about at all? It actually doesn't.
Exactly. You got it.
Thank you. I thank myself.
See, to some of us, this appears sort of funny. Because we have to feel this in our finite minds. And the finite mind cannot go further than where it goes. It can never understand the infinite. When we get into the infinite realm of things, there are no words to explain this properly. But we're trying to reason with our finite minds. And again, the finite mind is very, very limited. This way I can say this to you, that nothing else exists but the self, and then the self doesn't exist either. Yet with our finite minds we can't comprehend this whatsoever. It sounds stupid, it sounds foolish, it sounds crazy. Yet this is the ultimate truth. Nothing exists. Yet the nothing is also bliss. Divine harmony. as we are following this path, we find goodness coming to us from all directions. We find peace of mind. And then we transcend the body and the affairs and the world and everything else, we're absolutely free. This is why when you think of Advaita Vedanta, the path of non-duality is a path for mature souls. Not for everybody in this world. You cannot take the average person in the street and bring them into a class like this and make them understand one iota of what's going on. It's impossible. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. You have had to be in spiritual life for quite a few years, quite a few centuries, quite a few lifetimes, perhaps, to try to flow with this kind of teaching and become totally free and liberated from it. But I can assure you, there are liberated beings who have become totally liberated and free. And you are that yourself. So don't bog yourself down with all kinds of thoughts and opinions and ideas that are worldly. Because these worldly things will never end. They go on and on and on. When you move one thing, you go, something else pops up. Go to the source and become totally free.
For a yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was. The first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the yani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his home Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary. Is it now time for prasad? Oh, we have some announcements.
Maybe I have finished the book. It's the supplement, yes. There is a picture supposed to be on it and all. And these are all the 1990 transcripts of Robert's, and they're put in book form. And if you would like to order the book, I believe, see it, Emilio. These will be out next Wednesday. And you can put the order in to Emilio. And they are selling for $20. They are beautiful. There's everything you need to know.
And then he won a big time. Come on, Mary.
Everything you need to know is ready to ask.
And pray to ask. Thank you, Chris. Okay, we'll see Emilio after. If you're interested. There's only 50 copies being put up right now. So, and quite a few of those are already gone. I know. We're having a Bandara on Sunday. Excuse me, I was thinking of something else. On Sunday, it's the last Sunday of the month, and everyone is invited. And also, we won't have satsang on Thursday, we'll have it on Wednesday. So, but the Bandara, of course, is on that Sunday. And it starts at 1 o'clock, and it's vegetarian. And please bring a dish, if you will, please. And then we're also having a Bandara the last Sunday of December, too, for Christmas.
And if anybody plays music or knows any people that are musicians and would like to perform at the Bandara, please talk to me. My name is Andy.
And there is, Sue has a slip on the paper, or a slip of paper on the table there for you to sign up which dishes you may bring so we don't get all salads or all pastas or something like that. So you can see Sue about that later too if you'd like. Were you saying something hard?
Well, I just wanted to remind people for anybody that may be interested in living in an ashram. Talk to me after the show.
All right.
Remember, this class will be here again next Wednesday, not Thursday. So don't come on Thursday, it's Wednesday. Now it's time for prasad. The real reason why you came in. Tony Reichman bought this. But he was very sick, he had to leave. So he can't get any. Some ginger snaps. I know you've been snapped by a ginger.
thing on this table.
Vanilla chip macaroons, wheat free cookies. Dark chocolate raspberry stick. I see a mouse one.